produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings, one and all. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's great to be back with you once again. It's been a very eventful several days since our last broadcast, and just excited to be able to be with you today. There's a very significant date today that caught my attention earlier as I was reminded. I'm very appreciative of the things that Facebook can remind us of, and I was looking back at a memory from last year and previous years, and was reminded that today, June the 2nd, so this is a recording made on Sunday, June the 2nd, would have been my father's 100th birthday. Yes, he was born June 2nd, 1919. Now, my father passed away in May of 1980 when he was 60 years old, so he was just a month shy of being 61. And at the time, I was 31 when my father passed away. Now, that's been basically, 40 years ago almost, seemingly. So consequently, I've had many years to not have my father with me. But as I was pondering and contemplating the idea that today would have been my father's 100th birthday, I felt that that was significant. And I was pondering on what would be a topic worthy of this occasion. And obviously, in the month of May, we celebrate a wonderful holiday, if you will, a wonderful observance called Mother's Day. And funny as it might sound, there seems to be a similar significant date in the month of June, as we, I believe, on the third Sunday of the month, celebrate Father's Day. So this broadcast and the next perhaps couple of broadcasts, I would like to talk with our audience with regard to principles to help us power up our families, talk about the role of the father in the home. It seems that we live in a time when fatherhood is much demeaned, and in many households, there is no fathers that are active in the home. And that's a sad, sad reality. And as a society, we suffer a horrible, horrible consequence because of that. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But today, I'd like to talk about positive things as it relates to fatherhood. Now, in one of the scriptures that are held sacred by the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that in addition to the Bible, we have a scripture known as the Book of Mormon. And I find it very interesting that in the very, very first opening statement in the Book of Mormon, there's a statement made by one of the original writers of the Book of Mormon at a time of about 600 B.C., 600 years before the birth of Christ, a young man by the name of Nephi, who was the son of a lesser-known prophet in Jerusalem by the name of Lehi. And Nephi writes, "I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father." And so I would like to talk a little bit about what is the role of the father and the significance of fatherhood for family and for those individuals who have that great blessing of being fathers. I find it interesting to note that God chooses to be known as our Heavenly Father. So with reverence and with awe, we should recognize that the term father obviously is a very special relationship, as Heavenly Father is literally the father of each of us in terms of our spiritual birth. our mortal fathers are the one who help to provide us with life and mortality. Co-equal with, of course, the mother who bears the main responsibility, the only responsibility, if you will, in terms of childbearing, but not in child rearing. A number of years ago, when we joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 1975, the good brother who was serving as the mission president for the Louisville, Kentucky mission was a gentleman by the name of George Durant. And he was basically finishing up his time as the mission president as we joined the church. But we got to meet him. We got to hear him speak at a state conference. And I was very impressed with him. And over the years have followed his writings and some of his books and audio cassette recordings that he's made. And have found that he is a man of great knowledge, of great wisdom, great stature, and quite an outstanding person. A number of years ago, I came across a book that he had written. The year of this book actually was published in 1976, just the year after we joined the church. And the title of the book is Love at Home, Loving Father. Now, Latter-day Saints have a hymn in the hymn book called Love at Home. So obviously there's a bit of a play on words here with his use of that title, Love at Home, Starring Father. Now in his book, he deals with several topics throughout the various chapters of his book. Chapter 1, he talks about the honor of being a father. The second chapter, a priesthood father and an eternal family. And the next, time at home. And then next, help your children feel good about themselves. And then next, having fun with your children is church work. Next is listening to your children. Next is family home evening and father. Next is teaching your children to work. Next, and I love this one, be a little funny at times. Next is pray for your family and for yourself. The next, show and tell your love to your family. And then perhaps the most important one, love their mother. So, in his first chapter, he talks about the honor of being a father. Now, I remember in 1977, when our first child was born, there was great excitement for myself, for my wife, and for my parents, because I, being an only child, this meant that this was going to be my parents' very first grandchild. And as circumstance would have it, my wife's pregnancy went very well, but when it came time to get close for delivery, went through 3 or 4 days of on-again, off-again contractions. And I finally had to buy a digital watch where in the 3 o'clock in the morning when she was having a contraction and we were trying to sleep, I could push a button and see in the dark what the amount of time was in between contractions. And I remember we went to the hospital and they said, no, not ready yet, go back home. And so another day went by, and when it started up again, we went back the next day. Late at night. They said, not close enough, but we're going to keep your wife here, but it's going to be a while. And they said, I should go home and get a good night's rest. And I was a little bit apprehensive of leaving, but they assured me that it wasn't going to be anytime soon, but that she needed rest and I needed rest, and that was the best course of action. So I went home and got a really good night's sleep after having gone through 2 pretty much sleepless nights. The next day came, and I arrived at the hospital. Now, our doctor was an old-fashioned kind of doctor, and so he did not allow the father to be in the delivery room. And I was at a point in my life where I was a little bit not so sure about needles and hospital things, so I was not particularly concerned that I wasn't going to be in the delivery room. Well, as circumstance would have it, when, and by the way, I arrived at the hospital around 8 o'clock that morning, and it wasn't until 4:15 in the afternoon before my wife delivered. So as that long, long day progressed, the moment finally came for her to be taken into the delivery room. The doctor had not yet arrived, and the nurse, unbeknownst to the circumstance of the agreement I had and the doctor had with each other, suggested, why don't you get robed up and let's have you in the delivery room? And I said, well, the doctor doesn't allow that. And she said, well, just go ahead and get robed up, and when he gets here, we'll ask him and see. Well, I did. And when the doctor arrived, he had a medical student with him. And when the nurse asked him if I could be in the delivery room, he looked at me, already roped up. He was looking at the medical student. And he said, why not? One more won't make a difference. So I was able to be in the delivery room. Now, kind of a funny little incident occurred. I had the mask on, the hat, you know, the gloves, the whole nine yards, the robe. And I go in, and my wife looks up at me and has this quizzical face, you know, look on her face, and she says, who are you? And I retorted back, I'm Dr. Floyd, to which she got kind of panicky and said, you're not supposed to be in here. What are you doing? To which I responded that the doctor had given clearance for me to be in there. So she settled down, and the time came for the doctor to perform the delivery. I won't go into great detail about the delivery, but let's just say that as our firstborn, our son, came out, he was letting the world know that he was arriving. Not so much screaming and crying, but there was this arching stream that came across my wife and the doctor and those standing around. So we all had to laugh a little bit at his entry into the world. But it all went well, and we were delighted. I was a happy camper because now we had our firstborn child and we had a son. Now, this was back in the day before ultrasound, so we had no idea whether we were going to have a boy or a girl. Now, my wife had kept telling me all through the pregnancy that we were going to have a boy. She just knew that we were going to have a boy. It's amazing how mothers have that awareness and have the ability to know that. So there we were. We had our firstborn son, and all was well, and we were delighted. Now, we've been blessed with three additional children. Next came a daughter, and then a son, and then another son. And each one of those births have very special and unique circumstances. And we'll share more of that in perhaps our next broadcast. But I'd like to talk a little bit about what George Durant said is the honor of being a father. He says at the opening of his first chapter, he says, greetings, my fellow fathers. Can you think of anything as magnificent as being a father? As far back as my memory will reach, I recall having a longing to become a father. I dreamed of sometime finding a beautiful wife, establishing a home of our own, and filling that home wall to wall with children. I suppose that one reason this desire for fatherhood was so strong in me was that I, being the youngest of nine children, didn't have the joy of having younger brothers and sisters. I had a friend and neighbor whose name was Herbie. He was the middle child of a family of 11. When I visited Herbie and his family, I'd see all the little children there, and I'd become a bit jealous of him. At Christmas time, my envy would be almost intense. I had become too old to get toys, and so had Herbie. But because of his little brothers and sisters, on Christmas morning, his house was still filled with toys, and mine was not. I could hardly bear such inequity. Perhaps this was one of the reasons I had an intense desire to grow up and become the father to a whole flock of little children. I could envision no greater thrill than playing with my children and with their Christmas toys, the ones that I had always wanted, and to hear them call me Daddy. To accomplish my family dream, I had to wait those long years till I was fully ready for this. the greatest of all responsibilities. As time passed, my desire to become a husband and father became even stronger. When those rewarding 2 years of missionary life ended, I felt ready, with the Lord's help, to make my dreams come true. The exciting search for my future wife was intensified. I found a girl who loved me as much as I loved her. I asked her to marry me, and she accepted. In the temple, we became eternal partners. A few months after our wedding, I came home from my labors to assist my wife in preparing our evening meal. As I peeled the potatoes with a paring knife, she was nearby opening a can of peas. The words she spoke on that great moment in history, I shall never forget. For it was my single most fulfilling moment. She said, quote, "I went to the doctor today. We are going to have a baby." Her words almost put me into a state of shock. I had to quit peeling the potatoes. My hands trembled with such excitement that the task became too dangerous to continue. My heart pounded within me. I jumped up and down with glee. I delicately hugged my wife. My dream was coming true. I was going to become a father. I wanted to shout the news to all the world. As the time for the baby's arrival came closer, I was drafted into the Army and stationed in Arkansas. I had to live on the base while Marilyn lived in the town some 12 miles away. The Army doctor told us that when she came to the base hospital to have the child, I'd be notified so that I could be there. But on the night of the birth, I was not notified. The next day, I stood outside the Army mess hall in line waiting for the noon meal. Someone came to me and said, "Durant, you are to call the hospital." I crossed the road to a phone booth and called. The nurse announced to me via phone the long-awaited magnificent message. "Private Durant, you are the father of a fine baby son." Tears of joy filled my eyes. I bounded out of the phone booth with the agility of a great athlete. I half ran and half jumped along as I shouted to my soldier friends who had known that the event was near, "I've got a son! I've got a son! I'm a father! I'm a father!" Even now, as I recall those memories, I feel excitement surging through my soul. My buddies cheered for me as I quickly ran the few blocks to the post hospital. My mind filled with thoughts of joy. I felt like pinching myself to make sure I wasn't involved in a dream. I knew it wasn't a dream. It was true. I was indeed a father. I recall thinking as I neared the hospital, "I'd like to light a new star in the sky to announce the arrival of my son." Nothing short of that seemed adequate to express how happy I was. I dashed into the hospital and down the hall. As I went along, I saw the glass windows of the newborn baby room. I stopped and looked in. There, among the three or four little ones, was a baby whose crib bore the name Durant. As I looked, my whole soul tingled with a spiritual thrill. This was my son, and I was his father. I went to Marilyn's room. She seemed more beautiful than ever. As we talked of all the wonders of what had happened, I excitedly said, "The little boy, he looks just like me." She squeezed my hand and she said, "I know that, but let's keep him anyway." Thus, our firstborn was delivered to us in an Army hospital. The cost was just $8. He's been worth every cent of that, plus $1 million more. I know that you as a father could tell quite a story about the arrival of your first child. I'm sure you agree with me when I say there's no experience like that which comes at the time when a husband and wife can say with joy, "Unto us a child is born." Our second son was our third child. By the time I was teaching seminary in Brigham City, Utah, it was close to my birthday. I was called to the phone. Marilyn, who was close to the time of delivery, said, "I believe I have a special birthday present for you. Come home and let's go to the hospital to get the gift." I excitedly told the students, "Teach yourselves," and away I went. Soon we were at the hospital. She went to be prepared for the birth, and I went to the father's waiting room. A half hour or so later, I was reading a magazine when the doctor interrupted me by asking, "Would you like to come into the delivery room?" His question rather shocked me, and I replied, "Well, I would, but as you can see, I'm reading this Sports Illustrated magazine." He replied, "Maybe you could read that later." I stammered a little and said, "I'm afraid I would get a little woozy in there. I'm not too good at such things." In kindness, he said, "Come on in. Marilyn would like you to, and I'm sure you'll do just fine." I was out of excuses, and so I followed along, praying silently that all would be well. What followed was the most unforgettable experience of my life. The doctor explained all that was happening. My heart was filled with the warmth of the Spirit of the Lord. I stood in awe as the baby was born. The doctor held him by his ankles, and for a few seconds there was silence, and then the baby cried. Seeing the baby and hearing his first cries caused a sensation in my soul that was more than any emotions could bear without tears. I cried too. I've never seen such a miracle. Certainly, birth is indeed the most glorious and wonderful of all events. These two births, six others as equally as thrilling, we've been blessed to receive from heaven eight choice spirits who have become part of our family. To some people, eight children seems like a lot, but to others, it's but a few. As one great man once said, "Some have eight or nine children, that's their business. But as for my wife and me, we like a large family." They had 15. Fathers have families of different sizes, but whether our families are one or 15, we rejoice in the thrill of fatherhood. To be co-creators with our beloved wives is an honor that goes beyond all others and a responsibility that dwarfs all other responsibilities. Being trusted by a heavenly Father to receive one of his own spirit children is a most divine opportunity, and to prepare that child to someday return to his or her heavenly home is a responsibility beyond description. As I think of the honor of fatherhood, I recall that at work I was once asked to fill out a questionnaire. One of the questions was, "What honors have you received?" I thought as I read the question, "I'll leave this question and come back to it." I filled in all the other blanks and then again looked at the words, "What honors have you received?" I could think of none. I'd never been all state in anything, nor had I been elected to any office. I felt a little unimportant as I left the item blank. I folded the paper and placed it in the envelope for mailing, but before I sealed it, I paused. I took the paper out of the envelope and smoothed it out on the table. I picked up my pen in response to the question, "What honors have you received?" I wrote the glorious words, "The Melchizedek Priesthood." My soul was stirred as I considered again the honor and thrill of being an elder. But having written that, I now know that I must write more. I then recorded another honor. I wrote the word husband. It's such a joy to be a husband and to strive to be worthy of the honor of having a woman love and respect you. Having listed these two supreme honors, Melchizedek priesthood and husband, I was now inspired to list my final and greatest honor. I wrote with reverence the sacred word father. So my honors were listed, Melchizedek priesthood, husband, and father. Such honors, when seen with eyes that really see, make the honors of men shrink and hide in the wings. It's a humbling experience to address this book to all who share with me the sacred title, Father. As someone has said, and as we firmly agree, there is no word which describes a higher title, for it is by the name Father that even God has chosen to be known. I, as you, do tremble a bit as I consider the awesome task of filling the role of father. I take comfort in two things. Number one, we have to take things only one step at a time. Number two, God, our Heavenly Father and Heavenly Father of our children, help us and make us equal to the responsibility. He goes on to say, I recall a story that came out of World War II, which I saw depicted in an old movie. In the story, a Navy pilot during the early days of the Pacific Campaign had been quickly elevated to the rank due to the fact that many of his superiors were killed in an intense struggle. Finally, this young officer became aware that he would soon be asked to become a commander of many other pilots. He knew that in that role, he would have the almost unbearable responsibility of directing men to places from which they would never return. He was called before the admiral, knowing what he would be asked to do. He decided to refuse the command, as he had suspected the orders were that he take the assignment. In response, he quickly refused on the grounds that he was not qualified. The admiral arose from his chair, came around the desk, and putting his hand on the young man's shoulder, looking into his eyes, the admiral said, "What do you want me to do? Find a great man for this terrible responsibility? Well, let me tell you something. There aren't any great men. There are only great responsibilities. When ordinary men like you and me meet a great responsibility and fulfill it, then a great man is born." And so, my fellow fathers, I know that we can do it. We can receive a newborn child, and we can fulfill the responsibility of being the kind of father that that child deserves. As we meet with faith and with love, this mightiest of all responsibilities, we can become great. For there is none so great as he whose deepest desire is to be a good father. Along the way, problems will arise, as they did for the great prophet and father Lehi. Sometimes we will suffer heartache, as he did. But through it all, if we continue in our righteous desires, our children will say of us, as Lehi could of him, "Having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught in all the learning of my father." I would like to testify to you that I know that our Heavenly Father loves us dearly, and that he has created this amazing mortal experience where we are born into a family, ideally with a father and a mother at the helm, where we can enjoy the blessings of being nurtured and disciplined and raised in righteousness by fathers who are committed to their Savior, who are committed to our Father in heaven, who are committed to their wives, and who are committed to their children. I love my family. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. For this I testify in the holy and sacred name of our Lord and Savior.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.